Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbak. Ya Allah, we ask you to make whatever knowledge we learn in this gathering beneficial for our hearts, beneficial for our hereafter. Whatever we learn, make it, put it in the sadaqah jariyata of Sheikh Ahmed Obama, the author of the book we're studying, and all of our teachers who we've benefited from, Ya Rabbil Alameen, give them jaza al-hasana. All of our family members who have passed away, give them the highest levels of firdaus, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we're continuing, moving on to another chapter of Sheikh Ahmed Obama rahimahullah's Masalik al-Jinan. It's our 11th class, mashallah, and we're just moving straight through. Actually, up till now, we've only just finished Sheikh Ahmed Obama rahimahullah, his introduction. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we're actually starting, which is chapter 1 of Masalik al-Jinan. So up till now, we were literally just studying all of his introductory things just before he could actually give us, like, so basically, we just had like the appetizer. You know what I mean? Like, basically, he just gave us the appetizer, and now the main course is coming, and he's going to actually start breaking down. And subhanAllah, one of the lines that was probably the line which inspired me when I was talking to one of the brothers about the book we were going to do, when we were talking, one of the lines that we're going to do today is what really inspired me to choose this line, choose this poem to study, because of how deep this is really connected in our lives and how much it can really change our spirituality and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the next chapter that we're starting, he calls al-babu al-awwal fil khalqi. He says that first chapter regarding the khalq, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sheikh Ahmed Obama rahimahullah, when he talks about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our last chapter, it's beautiful that we're studying this now, because the whole last chapter was about serving the creation. The whole last chapter was about understanding that through service of the creation, that's your way to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by serving people. And that was what we talked about deeply last week, that we have to, that was the week of serving people. And inshallah, that inspired us. Now this week, he takes a different perspective on the creation, because he sees that the creation actually becomes one of the primary things that stops us in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he'll explain that, inshallah ta'ala. So there's two things he's going to talk about tonight, inshallah. Number one thing we're going to talk about is what's called hawa, or desires. And number two, shaitan. He's going to explicitly break down the kaid or the makr or the ploys or plots of shaitan and how we respond to those. And he's also going to talk about the hawa, which is the lower desires, and how we're supposed to interact with those and how they can be a hindrance to our spirituality. So he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He says, I'lam waqana Allahu kulla mahlaki wa qadana turran li khayr al maslaki. أن التفات عابد للخلق تحجبه بينه وبين الحق ومنهما يهوى وشيطان رجيم فليعصم كل منهما فاستقيم. First three lines, he says, understand and know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect me and you from all places of destruction. Ameen. وَقَادَنَا تُرًّا. And may he guide us gently to the best path. May he guide us gently to the best path. The beautiful things he says, turran, because if someone forces you to the best path, sometimes just because of the force behind it, you don't want to be on that path. So when we're being guided or guiding other people, it's important that we're gentle, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa, when you go to Pharaoh, what do? قُلَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Speak to him with a gentle word. So he says, وَقَادَنَا تُرًّا لِخَيْرِ الْمَسْلَكَ. And may Allah guide us gently to that path to that good path. Ameen. He says, أَنَّ الْإِلْتِفَاتَ عَابِدٍ لِلْخَلْقِ. He says, and this is the line, he says that a worshipper's constant concern and the preoccupation to look side to side at everyone else, للخلق, at all of the creation, يحجبك بينه وبين الخلق, بين الحق. It's the thing that will come as a hijab or a barrier between you and الحق, which means Allah, the truth. What is he saying in this line? He's like, one of the problems that I know I have and that we have is that we're constantly worried about what people think. We're constantly looking over our shoulder, like, what are they saying? What are they thinking? What do they think about me? And so he says, أَنَّ الْإِلْتِفَاتْ عَابِدْ لِلْخَلْقِ. Your constant preoccupation and iltifat. Iltifat in Arabic means when you keep looking at something. Keep looking at something. So he's like, our constant preoccupation with worrying about what everyone else is doing, this is the primary thing. He says, يَحْجُبْ. يَحْجُبْ means like hijab, like a barrier. Between what? بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْحَقِّ. It is the primary barrier between us and the truth. And the truth he means? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Haq. He says, وَمِنْهُمَا يَحْوَى وَشَيْطَانُ الرَّجِيمُ فَلْيَعْسِمْ كُلَّ مِنْهُمَا فَاسْتَقِيمُ. He says, and from the creation, there's two things you got to beware of. From the creation, there's two things you have to beware of. Al-Hawa. What does Hawa mean? It means the lower desires. It means the lower desires. The Arabic word for Yahwa actually means to fall down. And the reason Imam Ghazali, he says, no one ever was humiliated or debased in this dunya except it was a result of their desires. He says, if you study every person that was humiliated and brought to a low place, it's only one thing that brought them there and it was their desires. He says, look at the beginning, Iblis, Shaitan, desire right there. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ كِبْر, arrogance. Then look at Hawa and Adam, عليه الصلاة والسلام. Adam and Eve, what was the thing? That desire for something brought them down. Then look at Qabil and Habil, Cain and Abel. Like constantly this Hawa is the thing that Shaitan is using to pull us down. And so what he's teaching us here is he's like, there's two things I want you to focus on. Your Hawa, your desires. That's something that's going to destroy you if you don't control it. It's going to bring you down. It will debase you and humiliate you. Some people were at the pinnacle of whatever. And because of that desire, they were just brought down because of that. And so he says, Al-Hawa wa Shaytan Rajim. And Satan. I mean, that's part of our aqidah. We believe that Shaytan is an enemy. And his whole, everything he's about is about bringing us down and destroying us. So we need to understand him on a deeper level. فَلْيَعْسِمْ كُلًّا مِنْهُمَا. He's like, if you protect, guys, if you protect these two things, Hawa and Shaytan, يَسْتَقِيمُ. يَسْتَقِيمُ, you'll be straight. You'll be good. He says, وَعَلَيْكَ وَعَقْلَكَ اِجْعَلْ قَائِدَ الْهَوَى وَلَا تَعْكِسْ فَتَحْوِ غَضَبَ مَوْلَى عَلَى. Again, what does he say? وَعَقْلَكَ اجْعَلْ قَائِدَ الْهَوَى وَلَا تَعْكِسْ فَتَحْوَ غَضَبَ مَوْلَى عَلَى. فَالْمُؤْمِنُ الَّذِي إِلَى مَوْلَاهُ يَكُونُ ذَا انْتِقَادُ لَا هَوَاهُ تُوبَى لِمَنْ يَقُودُهُ حِجَاهُ دُونَ هَوَاهُ لِرِضَى مَوْلَاهُ. He says, what's the defense against your aql? What's the defense against your aql? He says, what against your hawa? Sorry, I just like ruined it. But anyways, what's the defense against your desires? He says, wa aqalak, your intellect, ij'al, make that qa'id al-hawa, the guide of the desire. What he's saying here is don't let the desire be the thing that leads you, but rather let the intellect or the aql be the thing that's controlling the desire. That's the way you find that success over the hawa. For many of us, and especially the society we live in, what's rational, what makes sense isn't what we're doing, what we're taught to follow. We're taught to follow that which feels good and that which my desire just wants to do. And so that's what he's explaining. He's like, how do you control that hawa? He says, make sure your intellect, your aqal, your rationality is the thing guiding the hawa, not the other way around. Wala ta'kis. He says, don't do like mun'akis. Don't flip it over where the hawa is leading you, the desire is leading you wherever. So in a book called The Righteous Mind by Jonathan Haidt, he says that for the majority of people, the hawa is what's making the decision. He gives it an example. This is a beautiful example. You might want to write this in your notes. He says it's like the elephant in the elephant rider. Now, this example is very similar to Imam Ghazali's example, but he says it's like the elephant and the rider on the back of the elephant. He says it's supposed to be that the elephant rider is leading the elephant. But he says the reality, and he says the elephant rider is like your intellect. Like that should be leading. And the elephant that it's riding is like your lower nafs, your lower desires. So ideally speaking, you know, when I see that, you know, I always use bag of Doritos, whatever. But when I see that bag of Doritos, it should be like my aql kicks in and it's like, no, bro, we're like cutting back on carbs right now, right? But then that elephant's like, spicy though, you know, like that savory, like I'm the savory dude. So it's like, yeah, go for it. What he says is this. This is profound. Dr. Jonathan Haidt in The Righteous Mind, he says that majority of the time, the elephant chooses and the rationale simply becomes the lawyer defending the choice of the elephant. You feel me? Like you didn't choose what was rationally good for you. You chose what the elephant wanted to do, and your rationality simply became the lawyer defending the choice of the elephant. And so that does, then the aql isn't leading. He's like, instead of the aql making a decision, it's just the spokesman. Like the dude spokesman for Trump, he just has to defend stupid stuff sometimes, right? Or whoever, whatever. He just has to defend. He has no saying over what he does. He just literally has to become a defense for whatever the choice was. So that's a beautiful example that Dr. Jonathan Haidt gives in The Righteous Mind, where the aql should be leading instead of the elephant or the lower nafs leading. We want the aql to be in charge. And it's amazing he gives that example, because Imam Ghazali rahimahullah gave the exact same example. He just said it's like a horseback rider on a horse, and that he's supposed to be controlling the horse to go where he wants it to go. So what does he say? وَأَقَلَكْ And look, Islam is beautiful because, like, before I accepted Islam, like, rationality and religion didn't always line up. And many times, we were taught to, like, suppress the intellect. It wasn't, like, the main thing that should guide you. And the moment you open the Quran, one of the things that should stick out to you a lot is أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Do they not think? Do they not think? Do they not think? Like over and over and over again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Don't you think? Why is aql so important? The aql or intellect is so important because here's the deal. This is very important to understand. The aql is seen as the thing that's supposed to lead you to Allah. It's supposed to, like you're supposed to be able to look at the beautiful sunset and from that deduce that there must be a creator that I should love and worship and devote myself to. I mean, if you want to see the beauty, I mean, just follow my man's Instagram page, right? You know, you want to see the beauty of creation, man. Just look at the beauty. He's like, from that, we're supposed to deduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The aql comes to Allah. But here's the deal. Once the aql or intellect leads us to Allah, then revelation by nature means that which the intellect didn't have not access to. Y'all with me on this one? All right, my wife was like, nah, man, you ain't explaining it. So check it. From the Islamic perspective, we keep getting this message, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Don't you use your intellect. And so the intellect is by design supposed to lead us to the recognition of Allah. It's supposed to lead us to the recognition of what is good, what is harmful, right? Like what's good should be aql, and you should recognize that. But here's the deal. Once your intellect brings you to Allah, at that point is where we submit the intellect. Once we reach Allah through the intellect, at that point is where we submit. Why? Because the whole concept of revelation means to reveal. Reveal what? Unseen, unknown. Which my aql could not reach on its own. But the main point, though, is what he's teaching us here is make sure your aql, intellect, is in front or steering this ship, not your hawa. Not your hawa. Not your lower desire. That's the primary thing we're being taught here. So he says, وَجَعَلْ وَأَقْلَكَ اِجْعَلْ قَائِدَ الْهَوَى. As long as you make your aql the qa'id of, or the leader, guide of hawa, you'll be good. وَلَا تَعْكِسْ. Don't flip it over. Don't flip it over. فَتَحْوَى غَضَبَ مَوْلَىٰ عَلَىٰ. You flip it over, you'll bring the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. And as I said before, anyone who fell from any position, it was because of that hawa. فَالْمُؤْمِنَ الَّذِي إِلَىٰ مَوْلَاهُ. He says, the mu'min that مَوْلَاهُ يَكُونُ ذَنْتِقَادُ لَا هَوَاهُ تُوبَ. Right, important word, tuba. Right? He says, glad tidings to the one who leads their hawa to Allah. Like they don't let their hawa lead them. They lead the hawa to Allah. لِمَنْ يَقُودُهُ hijahu. He lets his intellect guide him and pull him. دُونَ هَوَاهُ. Not his lower desire. لِرِذَا مَوْلَاهُ. Why is this so important, yo? I'm telling you, if you look at our younger generation, everything they're being taught is you do what feels good to you, yo. You do what feels good to you. Who are you to tell me not to do this? It feels good to me. That's it. Once you understand that's the primary message, that's the idea of a safe space, that's the idea, it feels good to you, do it, go ahead. We're like, whoa, what does that actually mean? What if I want to do something harmful to me? Well, what is harm? So if you go to Stewart's harm principle, what's the harm principle? What's harm principle? As long as it doesn't harm anyone else, go ahead and do it. But from the Islamic perspective, that doesn't make any sense. Because first of all, what's harm? What's harm? Like, we understand that Allah teaches us what is harmful, right? And so we gain that understanding of harm and benefit first and foremost from Allah. The other is that the ethos of the society, just to leave someone to do whatever is not going to harm anyone else, that's not an Islamic perspective. But many of us grew up in that, and it's just like, well, my hawa should lead me, my desire should lead me. Y'all feel me on this point? It's very important to understand that harm principle isn't something we really like hold deep inside. We don't look at it that way. We understand right and wrong from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our intellect should guide what is good to us, to what is good, and give us the ability to follow. And our intellect should tell us what is wrong and give us the ability to stay away. And where the intellect can't pick it up, revelation is what tells us the rest of it. That's our whole worldview right there, right? So look what he says. So this was his basic breakdown of your intellect's relationship with the hawa. The desire doesn't inform my action. My intellect tells me what's good for me, and I'm constantly fighting my hawa to do what the intellect says to do. So it's a constant battle. He's going to come back to the nafs in a minute, but let's move forward. He says, أَمَّا الرَّجِيمُ فَنَعُوذُ بِالرَّحِيمِ مِنْهُ وَمِنْ كُلِّ مُخَالِفٍ مُلِيمٍ لِأَنَّهُ مُحَارِبٌ فِي كُلِّ حِينٍ وَلَا يُصَالِهُ وَلَا هُوَ يَلِينٌ. He says, now I'm going to change the topic to shaitan. Remember, he said we had two enemies we got to focus on. What were they? The desire and Satan, shaitan. He says, أَمَّا الرَّجِيمُ. As for the outcasted one, rajim, the one who was outcast, shaitan al-rajim. فَنَعُوذُ بِالرَّحِيمِ. We seek refuge through rahim against rajim. Rahim means the most merciful. Rajim means the outcast. So we seek refuge with the most merciful from the rajim, from the outcasted one. Min hu, from him, wa min kulli mukhalif mulim. And every blame, every fault-finding transgressor, we seek refuge from Allah from them. But look what he says next. He says, لِأَنَّهُ مُحَارِبٌ فِي كُلِّ حِينٍ. He says, because this enemy of yours is always, at every moment, at war with you. Muharib. He says at war with you at every moment. وَلَا يُصَالِحُ وَلَا هُوَ يَلِينَ. He doesn't enter into like a sulah. Sulah means like a treaty. Shaitan never enters into a treaty with you. Never. And he says وَلَا يَلِينُ. He doesn't let up. It's just constant battle. He says وَكُلَّمَا سَيَّرْتَهُ سَرِيعًا. Anytime you slam Shaitan down, قَامَ إِلَيْكَ بِالْأَذَى سَرِيعًا. He jumps back up ready, like, let's go. Like, that's the nature of shaitan. You're not going to beat him that way. So he says, ولا له شغل سوى محاربة لكل عابد بلا مجانبة. He's like, and he has no other job. His only occupation is you. The Prophet ﷺ said that every person born is born with an accompanying shaitan with them. Who, when that person is heedless of God, when he's heedless of Allah, that shaitan is whispering to him. And so what he's explaining here is he wants us to understand what Allah said very clearly, إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. He's a clear enemy against you. So what he's trying to explain to us right now is you need to be aware of the tricks and how he comes at you. And the first thing he said, now look, Imam Ghazali explains this. How do we fight against shaitan? This is extremely important. How do we fight against shaitan? Number one way of fighting is what we do all the time before we recite Quran. What is that? Which is to seek refuge with Allah from shaitan. So he's going to say later that, listen, shaitan is like a dog that Allah let loose. And he's like, when the dog is loose, you just call the owner. You don't sit there and fight the dog. So he's going to give that example that with shaitan, we don't sit there and try to fight him. Because if you try to fight him, he's been fighting a lot more people for a lot longer than you. And he has a lot more wisdom than you. So you don't sit there and try to fight him, number one, you seek refuge. But he said, if you seek refuge and you're still tested, he's like, I'm going to give you the primary tricks that he uses so that you can be aware against them. So this is extremely beautiful because he gives very, very clear like tricks that shaitan uses. So number one, the stages of shaitan's deception. Stage number one. يَأْمُرُهُ بِتَرْكِ ثُمَّ إِنْ أَمِلْ أَمَرَهُ بِعَجْلٍ لِكَيْ يُخِلْ. So he says this. The first thing shaitan does is try to get you not to do the action. Right? So it's like halaqa, it's cold. You're like, man, it's 40 degrees, man. Nah, yo, I ain't going, man. It's freezing. Like, first thing he tries to do is get you not to do the action. That's the first thing. As hard as he can, he's trying to not to get you to do the action. Now, Sheikh Ahmad Ubamba says, now, if you fight that and you actually do the action, what does he do next? What does he do next? Amarahu bi ajalin. He orders you to do it quickly. So you finally got up to pray, and then now you're praying, you're like, like, dang, like, what was you doing, man? Like, you were moving really quick, right? So he says, if you actually fight the first level of shaitan's trick, the first level is just don't do that righteous action. If you get past that, he's like, he orders you to ajal. Now, Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, I'm going to break from Sheikh Ahmad Ubamba because Imam Ghazali gives a similar breakdown. He says, so I need you to like make a side column in your notes and be like, Ghazali's breakdown, because it's slightly different than Ahmad Ubamba's breakdown, but it overlaps. So they both say, he starts by stop telling you, don't do it. Don't do that action. Just don't stop. Don't do it. He tries his best to keep you. Don't go to the masjid. Don't do that thing. Don't give that charity. Just stop. Then Ghazali says stage two is not to make you do ajla, to rush it. You know what stage two is? Procrastination. He's like, yeah, do it. Yeah, let's do it. Tomorrow, subhanAllah. So Imam Ghazali, he says, when shaitan says tomorrow, he say to him, This is like gold, yo. This is what you say. Like, he says, say to shaitan, Laysa ajli biyadi. My time ain't in my hands, yo. Ala anni in sawaftu amal al-yawm ila ghadin. If I delay today's action to tomorrow, when will I do tomorrow's action? Like Ibn Atal al-Askandari, he says, listen, every day has a haq on you, a right. If you push today's right till tomorrow, then when do you do tomorrow's right? After that, then you keep just laying it, right? No, this is beautiful. Ghazali says, number one, he says, don't do it, stop. Shaitan's like, don't do the action. Then you're like, no, we're doing it. He's like, all right, yeah, let's do it. Tomorrow. And you know the word in Arabic is taswif. The word in Arabic for procrastination is taswif. You know what it comes from? Sofa. The word sofa in Arabic means sofa af'alu. Sofa af'alu. Sa'af'alu ghadan. And so the word taswif just comes from the word sofa. Yeah, tomorrow. Soon. And you know, soon never comes. Right? So he says, if Shaitan tells you, wait till tomorrow, then he said, then say to him, yo, my time ain't in my hands. Number one, argument against him. Who told you I got tomorrow? Number two, what do we say to him? Number two is like, if I delay this till tomorrow, then when am I going to do tomorrow's haq? I'm throwing off every day's haq or every day's right through this. Then Ghazali says what Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba says, which is stage number three for Ghazali, but two for Bamba, which is two is? Come on, y'all. To do it quickly. He says, if Shaitan wants you to do it fast, he says, say to him, بِأَنْ قَالَ say to him this, قَلِيلُ الْعَمَلْ مَعَ تَمَامْ خَيْرٌ مِنْ كَثِيرٌ مَعَ النُقْسَانِ. A little bit of action with like perfection is better than a lot of action with imperfection. That's all you say back to him. Do it quick. No. A little bit with perfection is better than a lot with imperfection. And that's the reply that you give back. So now let's look at what Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba says next. He says that يَأْمُرُهُ بِتَرْكِ ثُمَّ إِنْ عَمِلْتْ أَمَرَهُ بِعَجَلٍ لِكَيْ يُخِلْ. He says he'll tell you not to do it. Then if you do the action, Imam Ghazali added taswif in there, procrastination. He says if you do the action, he'll tell you to do it quickly. فَإِنْ أَبَى. If you refuse, no, you beat this, you came to class, right? So you're like, no, I'm not going to rush. What do you think is the next move? No, you're close. He says, Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba says, Amara birriya. He tells you to show off in the action. Because now I'm doing it slow. And we all know, remember this. I'll make it very easy for you. Shaitan wants one of two things. Either you don't do it, or you do it and he ruins it. So the thing about us beginning to practice deen is in the beginning, it's just like, just do it. Just do the action. But what we have to understand is Shaitan doesn't, at first it's like, don't just do it. After that, we're worried about what? It actually counting. Do you guys get what I'm saying? So what he's worried about, he's like, all right, you did the action. He's like, I'm good still. Because there's a lot of people who did a lot of actions going to hell. A lot of righteous actions were not accepted, guys, because of the intention. So Shaitan's main two things is what? Number one, don't do it. And so he's going to try hard. Then you fought that. Then he's like, all right, you're doing it. Now I'm going to come harder at you. And so Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, rahimahullah, he says, فَإِنْ أَبَى أَمَرَ بِالرِّيَاءِ. So he says, the next thing he's going to tell you is riyah. Now the beautiful thing is Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, rahimahullah, each one of these things, he's going to actually break down for us. He's going to actually break them down, each one of them. فَإِنَّ جَا مِنْ ذَاكَ بِالْإِخْفَاءِ. If you are protected from that, which number is this? There you go. Thank you. Nuanced, right? Okay, four for Ghazali. It was third for Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba. If you are protected from this, how are you going to protect yourself? He said, ذَاكَ بِالْإِخْفَاءِ. The way you're going to protect yourself from that riyah is you hide the deed. The key, brothers and sisters, is get to the point where you hide your good deeds the way people hide their bad deeds. You feel me? You hide your good deeds the way other people hide their bad deeds. That's when you know you're accelerating in your spirituality. Because it's special. You know what I'm saying? You don't always, we share stuff, everything nowadays anyway, but I mean, normally there's some things you don't want to share with people. It's just you and that person. Why you huff like that, man? Never mind about that. Now, it's just you and that person, right? I'm just messing with you. Yeah. So, but that's the concept. When you start developing that relationship with Allah, then it's like, no, I don't need to share. I don't want to share this. This is between me and my Mawla. This is between me and my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, if you get past that, what's next? Well, let's look at what Ghazali says is next. Imam Ghazali's number four is, guess what? The exact same thing. He says that if you get past doing it quick, the very next step is he's going to make you mura'at and lidnas. You'll do the action for showing off to people. So he says, what are you going to say to shaitan to fight that inclination to show off? Remember, this comes to your head. You got to reply to that. He says, say to him, أَفَلَا تَكْفِينِي رُؤْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Is it not enough that Allah saw me? Just ask yourself that question. Is it not enough that Allah saw the action? Is it not enough that Allah saw me do this action? Yes, enough. Yeah, it is. That's it. That's your reply when he's like, okay, show off. No, hold on. Is it not enough that Allah saw me? Okay, cool. Now the next one is the same. Sheikh Ahmad Ubamba and Ghazali Rahimahullah, they say the next one is the exact same. What is it? He's like, he says that his words are, أَمَرَهُ بِالْعُجَبِ ثُمَّ هَكَذَا حَتَّى يُخِلَّ سَعْيَ رَأِ الْمَأْخَذَ. He says, if you do the action, first of all, you fought him on the first stage. You're like, I'm going to do it. Then he's like, do it tomorrow. You're like, nope, I already know that game. I'm not doing it tomorrow. I'm doing it right now. Then he's like, oh, you're doing it now? Oh, let everyone know you're doing it. Share it. Right? You're like, nope, I'm doing it for Allah. I don't need people to see it. Guess what happens next? The word in Arabic is called ujub, which is conceit or vanity over the action. You become proud of the action you just did. Now, you may be like, yeah, I'm happy I did the action. That's kind of dangerous though. Because you need to understand two things that you need to understand. First of all, it was Allah's bounty upon you. Second of all, I didn't do enough. Hold on, did y'all hear me on that? I didn't do enough. When you feel that this action I did, I did amazing. All of a sudden, what happens now is you have the opposite mentality. The mentality that we have when serving people is, I didn't do enough for you. The mentality we have when serving Allah is, I didn't do enough for Allah. Not that I now look at my action and be like, wow, look what I did. That's the exact opposite. So he says, if you get past riyah, then the very next thing that shaitan brings in your head is this concept of ujab, which is like, wow, look at what I did. Look at what I did. Look at what I did. And you have to protect yourself from that. You have to protect yourself. Make some room, inshallah ta'ala. Come on, y'all. We read the hadith plenty of times. Y'all know what's up. Okay. So he says, أَمَرَهُ بِالْعُجَبِ ثُمَّ هَكَذَا. He says he's going to tell the person, yo, be proud of what you did. Wow. So now, literally, shaitan is saying to you, wow, you're really good. Wow. Wow. And you're like, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I am. He says, هَكَذَا. This is his style. Hatta yukhilla sa'ya, until he destroys your efforts. Why? Listen, man. Once you're impressed with yourself, you stop improving. So that's what yukhilla sa'ya. Once you're impressed, oh, I'm good, then you stop improving. So he's like, once I convince you that you're good and you're doing good, then I my objective is gained, because now you stop your progress. He says, ra'il ma'khada, yo, be careful. Watch this. فَرَاقِبَنْهُ كُلَّ وَقْتٍ. He says, now listen, he doesn't give any more. Imam Ghazali drops one more on us. Y'all want the Ghazali joint? All right, Imam Ghazali says there's actually two more levels. Two more levels. He says the next one is that, and he says this is the most like slick one. He says, yeah, do the action quietly, and one day Allah is going to make everyone know about it. Yeah, do it quiet. So now he's actually telling you, hide your actions before an even deeper deceptive thing. Now you're doing everything and you're like, yeah, one day people are going to know about this. Maybe when I die, I'm going to die, and then everyone's going to know that he used to pray first saf every salah or something. I don't know. Right? They're going to go to his wife like, what was special? She's going to say, he used to wake up for tahajjud every night. Like, seriously, like, that's your intention now. So this is crazy, right? Like, Shaitan is never stopping. Like, now he's telling you, do the action quiet, and deep inside of you, I want you to ask yourself, like, deep inside, he's like, yeah, but one day somebody's going to find out. And then you got it. SubhanAllah. He says, this is dangerous, so watch that. So what do you say? So what do you say? I love Ghazali because he tells you what to say to Shaitan. He's like, if this happens, say to Shaitan, say, innama ana abdullah. Say, yo, I'm a slave of Allah. Wa huwa sayyidi. He's my master. Insha'a adhara wa insha'a akhfa. If he wants, he'll make my action known. If he wants, he'll keep it quiet. Whatever, my job is to act. That's it. My job is to do action. Last stage of Ghazali, of Shaitan. I mean, like, don't you feel more woke, though? Like you feel more like I already know you're, like, when you know somebody's, game plan, it's like, you know now, whenever the Ravens play, like, you know the quarterback's running the ball. Like, you know what I'm saying, right? We already know. You can't stop them still, but whatever. The point I'm saying is, like, you should leave today's class with, like, a deeper level where you, like, peep game on Shaitan. And you're like, yo, I know what you're going to do. And now, don't let, psychologically, you should be able to peep it inside your head now, if you know what I mean. Like, you'll hear these things, and you'll be like, dang. You understand what I'm saying, right? So what's the last stage? The last is like these are like very, very, very pious people. Okay? Shaitan says to you, لا حاجة لك إلى هذا العمل لأنك إن خلقت سعيدا. He says, man, you a made man. You're a righteous soul. You don't even need to do this actions no more. You're above the action now. You, the last stage, Shaitan, now again, this is like way up there, guys. Like, you're so righteous, you don't even need to do the action no more. Like, you made it already. And then he says, the reply is, no. I'm a slave of Allah. My job is to work until I'm done. That's it. Whether, you know what I'm saying? He's saying you're above the action now. And then you just fight against that. No, my role is to keep working. Okay? So Sheikh Ahmed Dubamba, he then moves forward. Any questions on these, yo? Any questions? Any questions? No? Everyone got it? Cool. All right. So what does he say next? He says, فَرَاقِبَنْهُ كُلَّ وَقْتٍ. Yo, you have to watch him closely all the time. وَزَمَنْ. All the time. بِالْحَرْبِ وَالدِّفَاعِ. You got to fight back. You got to push back. كَيْ تُكْفَ الْمِحَنْ. To protect yourself from his trials. فَدَافِ عَنْهُ إِنْ أَتَى مُوَسْوِسًا. If he comes to you whispering, so push back, بِذِكْرِ رَبِّنَا تَكُنْ مُقَدِّسًا, by remembering Allah. So what he's referring to here is the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ in a hadith. He said that whenever Shaitan whispers to you and you remember Allah, it's still going. You good?
Yeah.
Okay. Whenever Shaitan whispers, this is very important. The Prophet ﷺ said, dhikrullah is the best defense from shaitan. Dhikrullah is the best defense from shaitan. And we talked about dhikr of Allah in detail. So we're not going to repeat that, inshallah. وَمِنْهُ أُذْبِ رَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. He says, and from shaitan, seek refuge with your Lord, the most generous. تَنْجُوا إِذَنْ مِنْ مَكْرِهِ الْعَظِيمِ. You'll be safe from his very difficult plans and schemes. لِأَنَّهُ كَلْبٌ عَلَيْكَ صَلَّطَى. He's like a dog that's been released on you. But all he can do is bark. مَوْلَاكَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِهِ لَا تَغْلِطَى. So your Lord let him loose, so turn back to your Lord to get control of him. That's what we said earlier. فَإِنْ تُحَارِبْهُ بِلَسْتِعَانَةٍ. If you try to fight him without help, بِهِ تَسِرْ بِذَاكَ ذَا إِحَانَةٍ. He says, then you will lose this fight. Don't try to fight Shaitan without seeking refuge with Allah. We constantly seek refuge from Allah. That's what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. He says, فَرُبَّمَا تَحْقِرُهُ وَتَعْقِرُكُ إِن كُنْتُمَا وَحْدَكُمَا وَيَثْبُرُكُ. He says that you're going to think lightly of Shaitan, and you're going to feel like I can take him on myself. And he says, if you do that, then he's going to get the upper hand on you, and yathburuk, he'll destroy you. He'll destroy you. Now, what he does next, Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah, he actually gives two examples that the Prophet ﷺ gave from Bani Israel. From Bani Israel. So basically, guys, the Prophet ﷺ in many hadith, we were taught about some of the people of Bani Israel, right? From the nation of Musa. And so those stories were passed down to us, and many of those stories, the Prophet ﷺ would share those stories with us just because there's a lesson in the story. Do you understand what I mean by that? And so Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba right now, regarding how dangerous shaitan is, Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, he shares one narration from Bani Israel about a person by the name of Barsis. Barsis. Y'all know Barsis? Everybody knows Barsis? Dang, mashallah. All right, so I'll break it down to you. وَحَسْبُكَ مَشْتَهَرَ فِي النُّسُوسِ مِنْ شَأْنِهِ مَعَ الْفَتَى بِرْسِيسِ. He says, enough of a lesson for you is what has come down through the Nas, through the Quran and Sunnah, regarding the young boy of Barsis. So it's like, well, who's he? Well, the story tells us that there was a young righteous worshiper, a righteous worshiper from Bani Israel, who was known for his ibadah. He was known for his worship. And the story, I'm just paraphrasing the story just because of time, the story tells us that he fell in love with a girl, right? And the story tells us, like, slowly, shaitan just kept getting him closer and closer and closer until the unthinkable happens. And we talked about this in our last, like, sufficient answer. But shaitan slowly, khatwa, like, brought him to the point where they had zina, they fornicated with one another. And not only that, she got pregnant, right? And so, like, and this man is known for his righteousness. This man is literally known for his righteousness. And so now shaitan brought him step by step by step. Now shaitan's not done. See, what did we say before? Al-kidhib yajuru al-kidhib. One lie pulls the next one. So what does shaitan say to do next? Kill her. Shaitan says kill her, right? So now he does that, and her brothers, all four of her brothers, shaitan that night comes in a dream to them, gives them the same dream that this is what went down. So they all wake up in the morning, and one brother's like, yo, I saw a crazy dream. And everybody's like, I saw a whack dream too. What'd you see? And he shared the dream. He's like, wallahi, I saw the same dream. So now the one who gave Barsis that thought is the one setting him up. SubhanAllah. And so now they find out what happened, and you know what happens next. Come on, man. Like, you already know what happens to Barsis after that. But the point, I mean, like, you can figure that out easy. The point though, the reason why he's giving us this example is never feel yourself comfortable from shaitan. Never feel like you've reached this point where I'm good. Like, he can't get me. No, the moment you start to trust yourself and I'm good, that's when he hits you the most. And so that's why he's like, stay on guard. Understand these tricks. Understand these suggestions. Keep your aql in front of you and keep the Quran in front of you. And no matter what, you keep seeking refuge from shaitan al-rajim, because he can set you up. So he says, فَلَا تَأْمَنُوا مَكَادِيَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Don't be secure from the tricks of shaitan. قَبَلَ فِرَاقِ الرُّوحِ لِلْأَبْدَانِ. Before the soul is taken out. He says, لِأَنَّهُ وَقْتَ الْمَمَاتِ يَأْتِي. He says, because at the moment of death, when your soul is leaving, shaitan comes. شَخْسًا, right before your eyes. لِكَيْ تَحْرَمَهُ الطَّاعَاتِ. So the Prophet ﷺ, he used to focus a lot on the last moment before we pass away, because he said, that's the moment where shaitan comes the hardest. That's the moment where shaitan, there's actually a hadith, guys. Listen, this is a crazy hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, that when a person is on their deathbed, that shaitan will come in the form of their parents and say, yes, listen to this. Shaitan will come in the form of their parents and literally say, I died on the wrong religion, so don't die as a Muslim. And the person is seeing this.
Now the Prophet ﷺ taught us this, and Ahmed bin Hanbal, there's a very famous story about Ahmed bin Hanbal, right? Where he's dying. It's a well-known story. Ahmed bin Hanbal was passing away, and they keep saying to him, say La ilaha illallah. And he's in and out of consciousness, and he keeps saying, La, no, 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 right? No, no. And everyone, when he comes back to consciousness, they're like, Sheikh, we were saying to you, say La ilaha illallah, and you kept saying La. He's like, no, no, no. I didn't even hear y'all. Shaitan was in front of me telling me I made it already. You made it. You're successful. You this was kada. And he's like, I kept fighting Shaitan. And I was like, no, Because at that moment is when Shaitan comes the hardest. And so listen, the scholars just say it's simple. The way you live your life is what comes out in that last moment. The way you live your life, the things you did most in your life regularly, is what comes out in that last moment. And so for some people, it's La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. For some people, it's other stuff. And so that moment is a very difficult moment, and that's what he's making reference to. He says, لِأَنَّهُ وَقْتَ الْمَمَاتِ يَأْتِي شَخْصًا لِكَيْ تَحْرِمَ الطَّعَاتِ إِنْ جَعَلْتُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي يَهُولُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ إِذَا لِيَ يَسُولُ. He says, so make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your Lord, the thing between you and him when he attacks. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَمِنْهُ نَفْسُكَ إِحْذَرْ. Okay, so now he's starting something else. Okay, so now we'll probably stop here, inshallah. So now, remember, he said, there are two things I need you to focus on. Number one was what? Nafs or hawa, your hawa or desires, shaitan. And then the next one is your nafs, the lower self. Hawa is more desires, nafs is more your lower self. Now, we're not going to do it today because it's a long discussion in our next class, inshallah. From this point now, he switches to the second thing that is your enemy. So all he's focusing on, guys, is this. I've given you the introduction. Now he's like, listen, I want you to know what's going to stop you on this path. I want you to understand. And so the first thing he talked about today for us was number one, hawa. The solution to that is never let your desire lead you. Never let desire lead you. It's always intellect or revelation. That's it, right? And number two, shaitan. And alhamdulillah, we were broken. We were given step by step, seven steps. Step by step, seven steps. Seven stages that shaitan uses when trying to get us away from action. And so, خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. You know, like be on guard. Protect yourself and understand that this stuff is real. SubhanAllah. So any questions, inshallah? I think we'll stop there. Yeah, because the next section is all about the nafs, inshallah ta'ala. The nafs and dunya. So by the way, Sheikh Ahmed Ubamba is known for his ability to wrap things up very tightly. And so if you want to remember, I taught you this before, but I want to remind you because now we're talking about the enemies. If you want to remember all of the enemies of insan in one word, what's the word? Oh, you don't remember. Nashhadu. You know how we say nashhadu an la ilaha illallah? We bear witness. We bear witness, right? Nashhadu means we bear witness. So if you just remember nashhadu, you remember all the enemies. Let me explain. Nash, noon, nafs. Sheen, shaitan. Ha, hawa, dal, dunya. These are the four enemies. Let me say, I got you. Nafs is your lower self. Sheen, Satan. Sheen, the letter sheen is for shaitan, Satan. Next is nashha. Ha is desires. Hawa, desires. And dal, nashhadu, is dunya. He says, if you just know these three words, this one word with these four letters, You've understood everything that is going to work against you in your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he just broke down basically two of them, hawa and shaitan. And he broke shaitan down deeply. I hope everyone gets how deep he really, really made us understand which things he's going to say to us. So may Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Any questions before we go forward for next week, inshallah? Yes. Ujib, nam. Yeah, ujib. Like you become proud of the deed that you did. And remember, guys, depending on your level, remember we spoke before, like in the beginning stages of your spirituality, like you want to feel good about the action you did. But you want the outcome to be that you want to do more, not that you felt like I did enough, right? So there's a healthy like balance between ujub or feeling proud of the action and being happy that you were able to do a good deed. Does everyone understand that? I want everyone clearly to understand, like, it's okay to feel good about an action, but don't make it to the point where you're proud about the action so much that you feel like you did enough. You always want the action to end up where you like, I need to do more for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same concept when we serve people, when we serve mom, when we serve dad, when we serve society, it's like, no, I didn't fulfill, ana mukassir. You know, people are like, I'm negligent in my duty to you. Right? Some, subhanAllah, some people host you and they do so much for you and then they say like, I didn't do enough. You're like, subhanAllah, man. You gave me everything. You're like, no, I could have given more to you. And that's the mentality we want to build inside ourselves. Tayyib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Let's make a short dua, inshallah. Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu wa laka shukru kullu wa ilaki arju al-amru kullu alaniyata wa sirru. Allah, we ask you to give us the reality of whatever we studied, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And give us the ability to act upon it, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we seek refuge from shaitan and his trickery, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask you to guide our hearts and protect us from our desires, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to give us the ability to control our lower desires, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And we ask you to give us the ability to stay in your remembrance so that we cannot be affected by the whispers of shaitan, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum.